You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is part of our message series, Repeat After Me. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. We're glad that you're here. You know, I've been hearing great stories from our groups, our small groups, about you gathering and discussing this topic that we've been looking at for the last month, and that is prayer. And so I'm excited about what God is doing in your life and how you are learning more and more about this incredible privilege that you and I have to be able to connect with our Heavenly Father. And so I just say thank you, thank you, thank you, because here's what we're learning. Of all the things that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them, he basically just said, would you teach us how to pray? Because we've watched your life, we've observed your life. There's something that is different about you. And so would you teach us how to align ourselves with our Heavenly Father so that we can live a productive, fulfilling, fruitful life? And so Jesus gathered them, and he told them and taught them how to pray. How to pray. Not so much what to pray, but how to pray. And he gives us a model. And so we're continuing that series today. And we're glad that you're here. And I just want to encourage you to follow along in your note-taking guide. You know, I heard about a man who was on a diet and he was struggling. By the way, that's not me, okay? But I heard about a man who was on a diet and he was struggling. And he was going downtown, and as he was driving downtown, he thought, you know what, my route is going to take me right by a coffee shop, and I think that I will get a cup of coffee. And so as he was driving, he realized that, you know what, there was more than just coffee in this shop. There were donuts. And yet he also realized that he had made a commitment to be on a diet. And so as he was going to the coffee shop / donut shop, he prayed this prayer to God. He said, Lord, if you want me to stop for a donut and a cup of coffee, let there be a parking place right in front of the store. And he said, you know what? Sure enough, the seventh time around the store, there was a parking spot available to me. You know, today we're going to look at the prayer of protection. And it's a little bit different than the prayer that guy was praying. You see, in the Lord's Prayer, here's what we've learned, that we have a prayer of provision. Give us this day our daily bread. That's the prayer of provision. And then we looked at forgive us our sins as we forgive one another. That's the prayer of pardon. And today we want to look at this. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the prayer of protection. See, when we say to God, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us, That's a tremendous prayer that you and I are called to pray every day. But that deals with my past sins. This prayer here, this offering here, deals with my future. It's basically saying this, if you are a Christ follower here today, you're not only rejoicing that God has forgiven you of your sins, you're also thankful that he can lead you into freedom and into peace from the sins of the future. And so what Jesus is saying here is be thankful that your sins are forgiven. But I want you to pray the prayer of protection. Lead me not into temptation, so that you won't fall into those same sins that you just asked God to forgive you of. Because you know and I know that sin robs us of our potential. I love what the message has to say, and it even brings it out more clear. And here's what the message says. Keep us safe from ourselves. Right? You know, when we pray this prayer, what we're saying to God is this: God, you know what? I'm vulnerable. God, I have tendencies. And if you don't lead me, you know what? I'm going to cave in. Keep me safe from Dwight. Dwight on his own is not able to live the life that you want me to live. Dwight will get tripped up. Dwight will fall in the ditch. Dwight will miss the mark. And so he's saying here, keep us safe from ourselves and from the devil. Wow. Why? I love what John Piper has to say. And here's what he has to say. He's basically saying that this is what Jesus is teaching us how to pray in this prayer of protection. God, do not allow the pain or pleasure in my life to steal or destroy my faith and joy in you. That's the prayer of protection. God, don't allow anything to come into my life that would steal or destroy my faith, my trust, my belief in you, or my joy in you. And so we're looking at the prayer of protection, and it's something that Jesus is emphasizing to you and me. As much as we need to pray for our provision, give us this day our daily bread. As much as we need to pray for pardon, forgive us of our sins, we need to pray this prayer of protection. And we need to be able to say, God, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Now, when Jesus is saying this, I was doing some reading on this, and literally they said that the Greek is basically saying, lead me not into wrong thinking. Because you and I cannot act inconsistently with how we think. As you think, you will behave. And so he's saying, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. And so there's two parts that I want us to look at today. Here's the first one. The first one is, lead us. That's the prayer that we need to say. Lead me not into temptation. And I'm going to explain it because you might be thinking, why would God lead me into temptation? That's not what he's referring to here. That's not what he's talking about, okay? So let's look at James. And James will explain this in a better way for you and me. James says this, blessed is the man who endures temptation. So there's a reward for you and me to saying no to temptation. He says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those he loves. And so there's a prize, there's a reward for enduring temptation. And this is why we need to pray. Lord, lead me not into temptation. You see, the first thing that he says is blessed. That means that the reward for you and me for enduring temptation and saying no to it is that we'll be happy. We'll be envied. We will prosper. That's what that word blessed means. It means to be happy. It means to be blessed. It means to prosper. Because you have your life under control. You are exhibiting self-control. That which is tempting you, that wants to rob you of your potential, you are now saying no to. Maybe to that bad habit that is devastating you. And so when you and I learn to pray this prayer of protection, lead me not into temptation, it produces happiness in our life. It goes on to say, there's a crown of life. Wow, that word crown of life literally means life itself. What did Jesus say to us? He said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the what? To the fullest. He says that when you and I say no to temptation, when you and I pray this prayer of protection, what happens is we will receive the crown of life. You will really begin to live and live life to the fullest. And this is what the Lord has promised to you and me and to all of us when we pray this prayer, lead me not into temptation. Now he goes on to explain a little bit more about temptation. He says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So what he's saying here is, when Jesus is saying to you and I to pray the prayer of protection, lead us not into temptation, he's right here signifying that God's not tempting you and me. What we're saying is, God, lead me because of the temptations around me. Don't allow me to fall into wrong thinking, to bad thinking. Because if I do, I will fall into that temptation. You understand that? So God is not the tempter. God is the leader who delivers us from that. And then he goes on to say this. He says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So we're tempted by ourselves, okay? Then when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. And so for you and I to pray this prayer of protection, lead me not into temptation, lead us not into temptation, what happens is we have to understand how temptation works, so that we will be able to understand God's leading. And so how does temptation work, okay? Well, the first thing is, it begins with our desires. It begins with our desires. Look what James says here. He says, each one is tempted when by his own evil desires. And so you and I are tempted, okay, through our desires. Now, is it okay to have desires? Absolutely. Most desires are okay. You and I could not live without desires. We have a desire to sleep. We have a desire to work. We have a desire to eat. We have a desire to accomplish. We have sexual desires. These are all God-given desires, and they are good. They're good gifts. But any desire that becomes out of control in my life or your life is now something that the enemy can use against you and me. You see, Satan loves to take your normal and my normal desires and turn them into runaway, out of control desires. And when that happens, now I'm consumed. Now I'm obsessed. Whether it be food, whether it be work, whether it be fun, whether it be sex, whether it be money. And legitimate desires now become out of control. And temptation is like that steel magnet, okay? There's an inward and an outward part. Does that make sense? And there's the outward circumstance. But there's an inward drive in you and me, and that's desire. And so what happens is, he says here, each one, Dwight is tempted when by his own evil desires. And so it starts on the inside, and it often, okay, is the fulfillment of a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. That's what sin is. Sin is meeting legitimate needs in illegitimate ways. So the first thing is our desires. And then he moves on to this, deception. We have these desires in us, okay, and it always starts with a desire, but then we fall into this area called deception. Look what he says here. He says, he is dragged away and enticed. The word dragged away is a hunter's term that literally means to be snared in a trap. Now he's got us. Now he has me. Now he has you. The word enticed there is a fisherman's term, which means lured by bait. Now, if you're a fisherman here today, you know the key to good fishing is to have the right kind of bait. And that's what he's saying here, that Satan knows you and me. He's familiar with you and me. And what he does, okay, is he baits us. I mean, you don't catch fish on a bare hook. You got to put something on it that's attractive, that gets their attention, that they like. And so the question becomes for you and me, what kind of bait does Satan use on you and me? Because he's familiar with you. He can't read your mind, but he knows your patterns. And what happens is, it's like this, the very little that I know about computers, but I do understand this. Do you know that they track you and I where we go on the website? And so when you click on the computer, guess what? There's pop-ups that come there because they know your appetite. They know my appetite. They know where I like to go. They know where you like. Are you all okay on that one? And that's exactly what Satan does. He's familiar. And we see that there and we're thinking, can they read my mind? No, they're just familiar with your pattern and my pattern. And so what we have to understand is it goes from desire to deception. And we don't even know that we're being deceived. And that's how he works. And so it always starts with a desire, and then it leads to deception. And temptation always looks better than what it is. Do you know that temptation never delivers what it promises? It just never delivers. It promises excitement and fulfillment. It never comes with this pitch. Would you like to destroy yourself? Would you like to destroy your marriage? Would you like to destroy your family? Would you like to bring shame to Jesus? No, you know, that's not the bait that he uses. Rather, what he does is he entices us as, this will be fun. This will relieve your stress. You owe yourself. This will meet your needs. This is what you've been looking for. What can it hurt? Just once. Come on, just one time. And what happens is desire turns into deception, and deception then turns into disobedience, James tells us. Look what it says here. It says, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. What begins in your mind now turns into action. What begins in our imagination, okay, begins to be flushed out. And now we begin to act on it. It moves from our thoughts to our actions. And so the first thing that Satan does with you and me, and this is why we need to pray this prayer of protection, okay? Because listen to me, you're not smarter than the enemy. This is why we need to pray, lead me not into temptation. He first gets your attention, then he has your attitude, and then he gets you and I to commit to action. That's why the Bible says, listen to me, it's why the Bible says, stay away from all appearances of evil. Not just evil, but all appearances of evil. And you're naive if you think that you can play with fire and not get burnt. You see, it starts in our minds. And eventually it comes out in our lifestyle. And desire leads to deception, and then deception leads to disobedience, and then disobedience leads to death. Wow. Not life, but death. Look what it says here. It says, and sin, when full grown, gives birth to what? To death. You see, that's the tragic of giving in to temptation. That's what happens when you and I lose the battle. There's devastating results. And what is death? Death is the exact opposite of living. Of living. And Jesus tells you and I, you know what, Dwight, you're free to choose. And you know what? He gives us a free will. Dwight's free to choose to do whatever he wants. But listen to me. Dwight is not free to choose the consequences that follow. And here's why it's so important that you and I pray this prayer of protection. Lead me not into temptation. Here's the reason why. Because sin will cost you more than what you want to pay. Sin will hold you longer than you want to be held. And sin will take you further than you want to go. Because once I cross that line, once you cross that line, what happens is, I'm no longer in control. I'm up to control to that point. But once I choose, I'm not free to choose the consequences. And so we have to pray to God, lead me not into temptation. Lead me not into temptation. And we have to realize that and understand that. And so God, lead me today, protect me today. From who? From Dwight. because I have these desires. And they're good, but they can turn bad on me. And I can be deceived, which will lead me to be disobedient to you, which will lead to death. James wraps up this part by this. He says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Okay? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Wow. He says, you want to know the truth? Every good gift comes from God. So pray the prayer, lead me not into temptation. Don't believe the lie that God is holding out on you. That's what Adam and Eve experienced. They doubted God's love. They did not believe that every good gift came from God. They believed somehow that God was holding out on them. And so guess what happened? They allowed their desires to take control of them, and they were deceived. You'll surely not die. And that led them to be disobedient and ultimately their death. And so you might say, Dwight, how do I apply this? Lead me not into temptation. James goes on to say this, submit yourself then to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know what you say? Okay, what do we say here? Jesus is the forgiver of my sins. And what? The leader of my life. God, I keep me from myself. If I go on my own, I'm going to destroy myself. Satan will outwit me. He'll outsmart me. He'll deceive me, which will lead me to disobey you, which will ultimately mean death, not life for me. And so, God, today I submit myself to you. And I'm going to resist the devil. I'm not going to allow him to lead me through this path of desire, deception, disobedience that ultimately leads to death. I'm praying a prayer of protection today. I'm submitting to you. You're smarter than me. You're wiser than me. You love me unconditionally. And so when Jesus is saying, lead me not into temptation, he's calling you and I to submit to him. Make me aware of the things around me. Make me aware of my desires, that I can't be deceived. Give me your wisdom. Give me your insight. And then he goes on to this. He says, deliver us from evil. And that's the second part. And somebody talked to me because a few weeks ago I was talking about mental illness. And somebody asked me if I believe in mental illness, and I want you to know that I do, and I believe that we need to get help for that. Okay, so hear my heart on this. I believe in mental illness, but as much as I believe in mental illness and that it needs to be addressed in the best, thorough, complete way, I believe that we have somebody who wants to destroy us. Otherwise, Jesus would not have said, deliver us from the evil one. So just hear me on this. I believe in mental illness, okay? I think we need to address it. But if we address it without addressing this, we're naive and we don't understand the world in which we live in. And so he says here, deliver us from the evil one. Wow. So how do we live this out? Because what happens is, here's what you need to understand, okay? Whatever prayer you pray, whether it's a prayer of provision or prayer of pardon or prayer of protection, you're part of the answer to that prayer. That's how God works. We're co-laborers with God. So what are you and I called to do to ensure that we're doing what God is asking of you and me? Paul tells us in Ephesians, he says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The word schemes there means that he stalks, like a lion does his prey. He stalks you and I, and he waits so that opportunity comes to you and me, and he can pounce on us. And so he says here, you know what you need to do? You need to get fully dressed. I've given you things that will help you, so that you can take your stand against the temptations, the schemes of the enemy. And you might say, well, what's the schemes of Satan? Let me give them to you, okay? One is fear. That's his scheme. He will cause you and I to be fearful. Let me ask you a question, okay? I got a question. The negative thoughts that you have, do they come from within or from without? Most people think that they come from within. That's a lie. Why would you choose a negative thought? You're created in the image of God. Your negative thoughts come from without, but wants to be lodged in your mind. Y'all right on that one? That's why if you read Ephesians chapter 6, it says that the enemy shoots what? Fiery darts. That's the bad father. That's the bad father. And so what happens is he preys upon you and me. His scheme is fear. So how do we overcome that? How are we delivered from the evil one when he wants to speak fear into you and me? We overcome him by love. By love. Look what it says here in 1 John. He says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with what? Punishment. But the one who fears is not made perfect in love. And so what happens, I have to understand that my counter to the fear in my life is to say, God, you love me. You have forgiven me. You provide for me. And you are protecting me. And I trust you. Love, trust. The second area that he uses is lies. He basically only has two schemes. But he knows how to run them well, okay? One is fear, it's overcome by love. The other one is love, or is lies, and it's overcome by truth. Overcome by truth. Let's say that you're a father here today, or a mother, okay? Or an aunt, or an uncle, okay? And I told you, and I've asked this thousands of times in the last 35 years, and I ask you, I say, hey, you know what? I want you to know that I have your son. And if you don't give me $25,000 within the next 24 hours, you will never see your son or you will never see your nephew again. What would you do? Repeatedly, over and over and over again, every single time. You know the answer I get? I'd get you the $25,000 no matter what. And you know what I say? Wrong answer. You should first find out if I have your son or nephew. Y'all okay? Just pick up the phone and call. Because I just told you a lie, and because you believed that lie, though it was not true, I took control of your life. What have we learned about the bad father? His native tongue is lies. He lies. He lies. He lies. And so how do we overcome that? By truth. Look at what John writes. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you called and you found that your son or your nephew was with your spouse or with their mom or dad, you know what you would say? Hey, Dwight, go fly a kite. Because I just found out the truth. And I've been set free. Y'all okay? The prayer of protection. God, keep me from myself. Lead me not into temptation and deliver me from the evil one. And so how do we deal with love and truth? Paul would say that we put on the full armor of God. Let me give it to you. It's in Ephesians chapter 6. You can read it later, okay? But here's the first thing. He says, put on the belt of truth. And so basically what I'm doing, I'm putting on the belt of truth. And you know what I say to God? I pray this to God. God, make it very clear to me what I am to accept in my life and what I am to reject. In every conversation, do you know that people lie to you? And they can make you do weird and funky things? God, I just want to accept the truth today. In every conversation about myself and about life, you put on the belt of truth. I want to walk in your truth. Lead me not into temptation. Tell me the truth. Here's the second thing. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness is right here. It's the vital organs. God, help me to understand that you know what? You are good. And that I am in right relationship with you. And help me to live with integrity. Guard my heart. Guard my heart in everything that I come in contact with today. And so you put on the breastplate of righteousness. The third thing is you put on the shoes of peace. You put on the shoes of peace. Help me to stand and walk in your peace. What did Jesus tell us? I give you peace that the world cannot give and the world cannot what? Take away. Help me to, every time I walk into the room, whether it's my own home, whether it's the workplace, whether it's in my community, help me to walk in peace, knowing that you have all things under your control. Wow. How about this one? Put on the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. This is incredible here. And that's my mind. Help me to have your thoughts. Help me to speak your words. Help me to know that I'm your son. Help me to know that I'm your daughter. And then how about this one right here? Pick up the sword of the Spirit. That's the word of God. God, help me to be able to know your word. You see, when Jesus was tempted, okay, in the wilderness, he was tempted to do three things. To prove himself, okay, to provide for himself, and to pleasure himself. And you know what? Here's how he came back to that. It is written. It is written. And you and I will always be tempted to prove ourselves. That is to perform. We'll all be tempted to provide for ourselves. Just to say, hey, God, you know what? I can handle this. I'll provide for my needs and my wants and all of that. I'm not going to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And we will want to pleasure ourselves. And God says, I want to be your pleasure. I want to do that. And for you and I to do that, we have to pick up the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and say, it is written. And then finally, you know what we need to do? We just need to pray. We need to pray. Deliver me from evil. Paul wraps up this statement on the armor of God. He says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Why? Because we have an enemy who wants to devour us. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers. God, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. The prayer of protection. I need to pray it every day. You know why? Because I have somebody who wants to destroy me, who wants to eat my lunch, and he wants to eat your lunch every single day. And left to myself, I'm not equal to him. With God, I'm more than a conqueror. And so Paul lets us know that when we pray the prayer of protection, here's what happens. He says, no temptation has overtaken you such common to mankind. You tell me week after week, Dwight, you're reading my mail. No, I'm not. I'm talking about Dwight. Because you know what? I don't face any temptations that you don't face, and you don't face any temptations that I do. It's all common to us. To prove myself, to pleasure myself, to provide for myself. It's all there. He goes on to say this, and God is what? Faithful. If we pray this prayer of protection. And he will not let you be tempted beyond that which you can bear. Hey, Flip Wilson got it all wrong. The devil made me do it? Uh-uh. You were enticed and dragged away by your own desires. There's no way that I can say the devil made me do it, okay? Because God always provides a way for me. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can what? Endure it. So that you can experience the crown of life. So that you can be able to be called blessed. But you and I have to pray the prayer of protection. Lead me not into temptation today, God. Help me not to have wrong thinking. And deliver me from the evil one. Here's my prayer. Psalmist wrote it in Psalms 119. I want it to be our prayer, okay? Because he says, lead us. okay? Because you know what? When you fall into temptation, when you're not delivered from the evil one, it affects me. See, when I'm not experiencing this, it affects Patty. It affects Caleb. It affects Sarah. It affects Nate. It affects Jonathan. It affects me. Listen, my sins are not isolated. My sins affects everybody, and so does yours. That's why he says, lead us not into temptation. It's a prayer that we pray for ourselves, but we pray for those around all of us. Here's what he says. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Wow. And let no sin rule over me. Sounds a little bit familiar. Keep me from myself, God, and deliver me from the evil one. We need to pray that prayer every single day. Because you have an enemy, and I have an enemy that wants to destroy you and wants to destroy me. And Jesus said, you know what? You want to know how I do life? I pray to my Father, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Let's pray. God, I pray for myself today. I know that I'm in a war. I know I'm in a fight. I know I have an enemy. And he wants to destroy everything that I love. He wants to destroy me and then laugh at me. And God, today I pray and I invite all my friends today to pray. God, keep me from myself, from self-destructing. Lead me not into temptation. Help me with my wrong thinking. And God, deliver me from the evil one. Deliver me from the fear in my life. Deliver me from the lies that are told to me day after day after day, so that I can be able to experience the crown of life and life to the fullest. Help me to remember that every good and perfect gift comes from you, and that you will not withhold any good thing from any of us as we walk in your ways. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.